Welcome to worship at Advent as we celebrate the lighting of the fourth candle. Our hope is in the coming of the Lord.
And may his love shine in our hearts.
And may the Lord's peace be with us all.
The Lord is our hope and our life.
And the angel said to them, "Be not afraid, for behold, I bring news of great joy, which will come to all the peoples. For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord."
The fourth candle on the Advent Eve is called the Angel's Candle and speaks of the actual coming of Christ. It is the candle of love, a reminder of the good news that God has placed the world forever in the birth of his Son.
Let us pray that the newborn Savior will bring us his love, which lasts forever.
God divine, leaping down from heaven, touch our eyes and hearts to behold your glory. Come.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Purify our conscience, Almighty God, by your daily visitation, that your Son, Jesus Christ, at his coming, may find in us a mansion prepared for himself, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated.
No matter how small or insignificant a person, an interaction, an event, or a place, the possibility of a world-changing effect is always present. Approach your life with appropriate wonder, especially in small moments. A reading from the book of the prophet Micah. "But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. Therefore, Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labor bears a son, and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth." Word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Today's psalm is Psalm 80, found on page 3 of your bulletin. Let us read responsibly by verse. "Hear, O shepherd of Israel, leading Joseph like a flock, shine forth that you are enthroned upon the cherubim.
In the presence of Ephraim, Benjamin, and Manasseh, stir up your strength and come to help us.
Restore us, O God of hosts. Show the light of your countenance, and we shall be saved.
O Lord God of hosts,
How long will you be angered despite the prayers of your people?
You have fed them with the bread of tears. You have given them bowls of tears to drink.
You have made us the derision of our neighbors, and our enemies laugh us to scorn.
Restore us, O God of hosts. Show the light of your countenance, and we shall be saved. Reading the second lesson. For true freedom, choosing to do the will of God is a sacrifice. It is the only choice that ends its journey in eternal life. Reading from the letter to the Hebrews. Therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. With burnt offerings and sin offerings, you were not pleased. Then I said, 'Here I am. It is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will, my God.'" First he said, "Sacrifices and offerings, burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not desire, nor were you pleased with them, though they were offered in accordance with the law." Then he said, "Here I am, I have come to do your will." He sets aside the first to establish the second. And by that will, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel of the Lord according to Luke.
Glory to you, Christ.
I'm reading from the first chapter of Luke, starting at verse 39, and this is just a part of the story of what happened around the first Christmas. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And in a loud voice she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child that you bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" I want to pause just for a second there. Elizabeth, because of the empowering of the Holy Spirit in her life at that point, understood that the Savior was in Mary's womb. That was a revelation that came. To me, that is just awesome. Then continuing in verse 44, "As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her would be accomplished." And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arms. He has scattered those who are proud in their innermost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers." Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. The Gospel of the Lord. Seated. I'm so glad you're here this morning. It makes what I worked on this week seem so much more worthwhile. I hope you feel that way when I'm done. Last week I spoke about the three different elements of peace: eternal, internal, and external. And today I want to speak in light of the Christmas story about how to experience and walk in that peace in just a real simple way. This will be more of a devotional on the Christmas story than anything. Yesterday, I spent a good deal of time cooking and baking. Find it really enjoyable. I am not ready to put out my first cookbook yet, but I'm scorching less food and making a higher percentage of things that are edible. But a part of who we are as Christians is we want to grow and we want to learn, like I am about cooking and baking. But when it comes to experiencing peace with God, it's a real simple thing. I 4 years of college, 4 years of seminary, 3 academic degrees. I've been to most of the continents, but I did not find peace with God through all of that, through studies, through travel. I found it in a personal encounter with the Lord. And I want to remind you about that. Wherever you are in your faith, whether you're right at the beginning or whether you have been walking with the Lord for decades, this morning I'd like you to just try to reflect on what it was like at the beginning, long before there was a Bible, that is the New Testament, long before there were people who developed wonderful music and services like we experience today. And to me, that's a powerful reminder that in the beginning it was very, very simple. It was experiential. It was God speaking to people individually. And my point, one point for today is that we need to have a personal spiritual encounter with the Lord to be able to walk in his peace and live in a way that we understand that, that we are being led by the Lord. It doesn't come from what you do. It comes from experiencing God in a personal way. And for me, that happened when I was 31. But everyone's timetable is a little bit different. Jesus said when he was speaking to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, verse 2, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." I studied God's word. I didn't see it. With that kind of background, I'd like you to reflect on the Christmas story with me. And a part of what happens when your life begins to change because of an encounter with the Lord, you see things differently. You understand things from a heavenly perspective that you didn't have before. Start with Mary. This week I've been spending a lot of time in the early chapters of Matthew and Luke where the story really unfolds. Before I even read from a little bit later in Luke 1, I want to read to you from the beginning of Luke's gospel. He was not one of the 12 disciples, but he was an early follower of Christ. And here's what he says. Remember, Luke also wrote Acts. He wrote more of the New Testament than even Paul, and yet we don't speak about him as much as we do other writings. So listen to this. "Inasmuch as many have understood to compile an account of the things accomplished among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and servants of the word, it seemed fitting for me as well, having investigated everything carefully from the beginning, to write it out for you in consecutive order, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the exact truth about the things that you have been taught." So he was writing to someone who was a follower of the way. That was what Christianity was called in the beginning. And he wanted this Theophilus, which the name means friend of God. So it could be one person, it could be us, to know in specific detail what happened. When we hear about what Mary said at Elizabeth's house, it appears that Luke went and interviewed her to understand what happened. Now think about Mary. Gabriel had just announced to her that she was going to have a child, and Mary was a little bit befuddled. Try to put yourself in her place. She was a teenage girl. She had gotten her wedding invitations ready. In our day, that's where she would be at. Then the angel Gabriel comes in verse 34, and Mary says to the angel, "How can this be, since I'm a virgin?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has already conceived a child in her old age, and she who was called barren is now in her sixth month." This was a time of heavenly revolution. First of all, Elizabeth, who was like Sarah, Abraham's wife, it was too late to have a child. She was already 6 months pregnant. We read in the gospel that Mary stayed at Elizabeth's house for 3 months, which was after the first 6 months. So probably she stayed to help her with the birth of their baby John. But an incredible thing. Elizabeth conceives when she shouldn't be able to. Mary can't conceive because she's a virgin, yet she's engaged to be married. God was doing something amazing. And the question is, how do I walk through tumultuous times in my life? And my argument for you is, like for Mary, she could because she'd had a word from God. She knew that she was not losing it, if you will, but that she was walking in a way that was an amazing step of faith. And all that she could say is, "May it be done according to your word." She believed. She couldn't grasp the science of what would happen. Who could? I certainly couldn't. So Mary walked in faith. Then there's the story of Joseph, who was doing the right thing. He was living as a man of God would in that day. And it says in Matthew chapter 1, starting at verse 20, "Behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.'" At the end of Matthew 1, it said that Joseph did that, but he didn't go to bed with Mary until after she had given birth to Jesus. Again, an incredible birth, an incredible testimony. Joseph walked in a way that a typical man who has just gotten married wouldn't walk in. But he'd heard from God, and so he walked in faith and in peace, even though it was a very challenging time. Now let's look at briefly at Elizabeth and Zacharias, who we read about in the first chapter of Luke. They were changed forever. Elizabeth was too old to have a child. And in that culture, not to have a child was an embarrassment. What are you doing wrong? Why is God not pleased with you that you can't have a child? Then her husband Zacharias, who was a priest, he was serving in the temple. He was there to light incense, which was in the holy place, which was a huge privilege. He got the privilege by a lucky draw. Verse 13, Luke 1, "The angel said to him, 'Don't be afraid, Zacharias, for your petition has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will give him the name John.'" And Zacharias is taken aback. He can't understand it. And the angel said, "Because you're struggling with this, I'm going to shut your mouth until the child is born." And when that happened, he prophesied what the angel had basically said a little bit later in chapter 1. His father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, "And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High. You will go before the Lord to prepare his ways." John the Baptist was the forerunner. His father prophesied over his life what the word of God had spoken to him. So he was at peace, knowing that God was doing something absolutely incredible. And how do you get to that place? Because you have a personal encounter with God that says, "I understand that I'm walking in a good way." And to me, that's a part of why we're together as a fellowship. It's a part of why morning devotions are important. It's why we understand that we're seeking to walk according to his word. And that's what the Christmas story is all about. And a part of what I think is so fascinating is that we will in a little bit confess our faith through the Nicene Creed. Many of you can do it from heart. You don't need to look at your bulletin. What is happening now is that story that will become our creed is being lived out by people who've never seen the creed. It didn't exist. All they had were the old scrolls that were prophecies of what was to come. Now the prophecy was being fulfilled in their lifetime. And that's where we are. God is doing something in our life. "Lord, how can I serve you? How can I be an effective witness by the way that I live?" Then from Mary and Joseph, past Elizabeth and Zacharias to the shepherds, they were just doing their job when the sky above them was filled with angels. And even I would be wise enough to conclude something quite amazing is happening. They left their sheep because the angels explained something was happening, and they followed into Bethlehem where they found the child, and they understood that this child was something absolutely amazing. It says in verse 15 of Luke 2, "When the angels had gone away, the shepherds began saying to one another, 'Let's go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.'" This is too big for us not to be here and see what's happening. And so they went and found the child in the manger. Their lives were changed forever. Some Bible scholars believe that the shepherds were actually raising and tending sheep that would be used as sacrifices at the temple in Jerusalem. And And in the midst of that, if that is the case, the angels come and basically declare God's Lamb is being born in Bethlehem, the ultimate sacrifice. Then we go on to the wise men as well. They were astrologers, probably. They studied the stars, and they understood that something absolutely incredible was happening. They followed a star that led them generally to the area of Israel. Herod, a very insecure king, heard about them looking, and he invited them into his palace and said, I'm looking for that one who's being born too. I want to worship him just like you guys. I'd like you to go to Bethlehem, find him, and come back and tell me where the child is. The star began to move again, brought them to Bethlehem. And here's what we read in chapter 2. Now, by this time, which is probably where Jesus might have been about 2 years of age, they were now living in a home. After coming into the house, they, that is the wise men, saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell to the ground and worshiped him. This was the one that they had seen in the stars, had now followed and found him, and they worshiped him. They opened the treasures, presenting to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and having been warned in a dream, again, God is speaking, and they are listening, being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, the Magi left for their own country by another way. The story continues, which I won't read right now, but Joseph again was spoken to at this point, that Herod was on the warpath. He wanted to kill that child because he wanted to be king. And so an angel spoke to Joseph to take his family to Egypt, where they stayed until Herod died. Again, clear direction. How do we live in peace? Even in times of turmoil like Joseph, in this case, and Mary, by having the Lord real in our hearts, understanding that he still speaks and guides us if we'll listen to him. It's a powerful truth. Like all of them, we need that transformational moment when we understand that Jesus is not just the hero in some ancient stories that are neat to tell children, but that he's a living Lord who wants to come into our lives, into our heart, by invitation. Revelation says that he says, I stand at the door and knock, will you open the door to me? And that's what began to happen for these early followers who didn't understand the details of everything that happened. But in spite of that, they said yes. And they began to walk in a way that felt so different, felt so uncomfortable, but transformed their lives. Paul, much later, after the ascension and after Pentecost, says in the first chapter of Ephesians, starting at verse 18, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power. That power is still available for us. And his prayer for those who read his word is that on the inside, our eyes would be open to understand the greatness of who the Lord is. And that's the heart of the Christmas gospel. And I realize that as we come to the end of, almost to the end of 2018, some of us have had a really great year. Others of you have struggled physically, relationally. The Magi didn't have it easy with Herod. Joseph and Mary didn't have it easy with Herod. There was a threat. Zechariah was ridiculed in a way because he couldn't understand the magnitude of what the angel said. But then he began to prophesy when John was born. Thinking about that and about how important it is to be at peace by having the Prince of Peace in our lives. When Jesus began his ministry in Matthew 11, we read this starting at verse 28. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest, rest which is a synonym for peace. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So how do I come into that place of peace, that place of rest? To me, this passage is powerful. If you understand the idea of a yoke, it's a piece of wood that ties together the workload of two oxen, two cattle, or sometimes two horses, so that the load is lightened that they're pulling because they're pulling together. And Jesus is saying to us, put my yoke upon you. And a part of what that means to me is that invite him into your life. Lord, I am facing a financial struggle, a health struggle. I don't know how I'll get through this. Yoke up with Christ, and he will help you with that weight. The weight doesn't disappear, but it becomes an easier burden to carry. Last night I was talking with my brother, whose wife has had a series of heart attacks, one major and a couple of smaller ones. And she can't stand by herself. She's struggling. And we were just talking about how you walk through that. And how you walk through it is, in terms of Matthew 11, you become yoked with the Lord. You understand that I don't have to walk through this by myself. Mary said, be it done according to your word. Sometimes we don't understand why challenging times come into our life. It's not necessarily because of failure at all. It's just the challenge of life, because we live in a difficult world at times. And Jesus says, come to me, get yoked up with me. I will lessen by far the burden as we walk through this together. I have said this before, but to me, it's so important to me. Jesus said, I will not leave you as orphans. I will send you the Comforter. He is the one that will join with you and lighten the load in your life so that the load becomes bearable. At Christmas time, Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He comes not just to relieve stress, but to give us a new insight into who we are and how we can live a fruitful, productive life with him, never by ourselves. Doesn't mean that we escape challenges. Joseph didn't escape a challenge. He escaped the threat of Herod by trusting in God. So the Prince of Peace comes at Christmas time. Jesus said, my peace I give to you, not as the world give I unto you. That's the peace that we want. It doesn't come from working harder. It comes from, like Mary, saying, yes, Lord, be it done unto me according to your word. Lord, I trust you that even in this challenging time, you are with me. Or said another way, according to Matthew 11, Lord, I want to be yoked with you. I want your help in pulling this load, carrying this load that's in my life. The peace that passes all human understanding comes from the one that Isaiah spoke of as the Prince of Peace. And I encourage you, as we get very close to the celebration of his birth, that you remind yourself of what it means. It's not just tradition. It's a real relationship that changes lives in just profound ways. Now let's take out our bulletin and recite this ages-old confession of what Christmas means, the Nicene Creed. Let's arise. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made, for us and for our salvation. He came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried.
On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated.
This morning's prayers to the people are Form 6, found on page 6 of your bulletin. In peace, we pray to you, Lord God, for all people in their daily life and work,
for our
friends and neighbors,
and for those
who are alone.
For this community, the nation, and the world,
for all who work for justice, freedom, and peace,
for the just and proper use of your creation,
for the victims of hunger, fear, injustice, and oppression,
for all who are in danger, sorrow, or any kind of trouble,
for those who minister to the sick, the friendless, and the needy,
for the peace and the unity of the Church of God,
for all who proclaim the gospel and all who seek the truth,
for Archbishop Welby, our presiding Bishop Curry, our own bishops, Hollingsworth and Love, for Pastor Paul and for all bishops and other ministers,
for all who serve God and his church.
We pray for the special needs and concerns of this congregation. We lift up those on our prayer list, for Lillian, for Irv, for Barb, for Joan, Velda, Marilyn, Mary Lou, Bob, Karen, Lois, Rose, David, Julie, Michael, Arthur, George, Bill and Judy, Cynthia, Tony, the residents of Elijah Jennings, Sylvia, Kayleen, and Jack. Hear us, O Lord.
For your mercy is great.
We thank you, Lord, for all the blessings of this life. We will exalt you, O God, our King.
Praise your name forever and ever.
We pray for all who have died, that they may have a place in your eternal kingdom. Lord, let your loving kindness be upon them
who put their trust in you.
And join with me, O God, who inspired your apostles in Jerusalem to pray and fast to discern your will.
Send us in the vestry of our parish
your spirit,
that together we may learn what you would have us do in calling a rector and revealing to us the words and witness you would have us offer, that your kingdom may come and your power be made known in our congregations to the glory of your name.
Amen. We pray to you also for the forgiveness of our sins. Have mercy upon us, most merciful Father.
In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things done and left undone. And so uphold us by your Spirit, that we may live and serve you in newness of life, to the honor and glory of your name, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Almighty God, have mercy upon you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, and strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you. Let's share that now with one another.
Peace.
Good morning. So two short announcements. The first short announcement is to remind you that tomorrow night we will gather at 8:00 for Christmas Eve service. Rumor has it that Dar and the choir have some awesome music lined up. Okay?
Yes.
She's busy. Trust me, it's true. So please join us at 8:00 tomorrow night, Christmas Eve service. And secondly, there will be someone to pray with you and back during communion. May the blessings of this season be with us all.
And there was no one standing behind Dick, so I guess we continue. Let's present our offerings to the Lord now.
Oh,
Just before we continue, the choir and I get a really special vista or view during the service, the beautiful stained glass windows. Sometime we ought to turn the pews around. Maybe not, but it's just, to me, it's so edifying to see. And I think if I were building the church today, I might put the stained glass up front. But whoever designed that, it's edifying and brilliant. Let's continue with the great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, because you sent your beloved Son to redeem us from sin and death and to make us heirs of him and everlasting life, that when he shall come again in power and great triumph to judge the world, we may without shame or fear rejoice to behold his appearing. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. We give you thanks, O God, for the goodness and love which you have made known to us in creation and the calling of Israel to be your people in your word spoken through the prophets and above all in the word made flesh, Jesus, your Son. For in the last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. And we remember that on the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord took bread and he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you." In the same manner also, after he'd given thanks, he took into his hands the cup, and he lifted it up in front of them and said, "Take and drink of this cup, for this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Therefore, according to his command, O Father, we remember his death, we proclaim his resurrection, we await his coming in glory. And we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, O Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We praise your gracious Father to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and the precious blood of the new covenant. Unite us, O Lord, in your Son, in the sacrifice, that we may be acceptable through him, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, put all things in subjection under your Christ and bring us to that heavenly country where, with all of your saints, we may enter the everlasting heritage of your sons and daughters through Jesus Christ our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation. By him, with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
Now let's pray together as our Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Alleluia. Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us.
Therefore, let us keep the feast. Alleluia.
The gifts of God are given for the people of God. I invite you to come in faith to receive what the Lord has prepared for us. didn't see it at first. Let's continue with the post-communion prayer. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart through Christ our Lord. Amen. Now may the precious body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ guard and keep you. Amen. Amen. Thank you. don't forget, we're open for business tomorrow night at 8. Come and bless the Lord and be a blessing. Now go in peace and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Alleluia. Alleluia.